No.
Now we're entering the one of our favorite segments of the program opening day, our breaking news segment. Today we have Todd Starnes joining us. Todd's is the award-winning host of Fox News and commentary. It's heard daily on hundreds of radio stations across the nation. He also writes a column for FoxNews.com and is a regular contributor on the Fox News channel programs. Throughout his career, Todd's covered a number of high-profile stories taking him from Wall Street to the White House. Todd's the author of several books and plays. His most recent publication was released on February 7th. Great title, The Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again. You can purchase it and have Todd sign a copy following a session in the ballroom foyer. Todd lives in New York, and today he's going to share some breaking news with us. Todd?
Thank you. Well, it is great to be with you in Orlando. My goodness, it is warm outside. Feels good. And I want to say a special hello to my publisher of the book, The Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again. Steve Strang is with us from Charisma House. Would you please welcome him this afternoon? And we do have a few breaking news items to share with you. Many of you, some of you may not know who I am. You know, I've worked at Fox News for about a decade now. And many of you know that I live behind enemy lines. I live in Brooklyn, New York, among the indigenous liberal population there. And it's an interesting place. I've been doing my best over the past year to try to be a kinder, gentler conservative to my liberal neighbors, especially after sort of chuckling as we heard the weeping and the moaning and the gnashing of teeth at after Election Day. Anyway, we have a lot of yoga shops in our neighborhood and a lot of vegetarian restaurants, and so I figured I would try one of those. I went to this one place. It was one of these farm-to-table joints, and they actually serve organic eggs harvested by Amish midwives. I've never heard of such a thing. I tried to do yoga, but my half moon turned into a full moon, and it was just really, really inappropriate. So I'll report back next time on my adventures there living among the liberals in Brooklyn. Well, we do have a few breaking news items to share with you. This is coming from Blue Springs, Mississippi. A local man is under medical evaluation after he fell out of a tree buck naked. Now, police say the man actually climbed into the tree fully clothed, but on his way down, he hit every single branch and lost all of his clothing. The police say that the man was searching for his dog, so it's unclear at this hour whether he found the dog or his underpants. Some bad news for all of you Burt Bacharach fans. The Spring Lake Park High School Marching Band in Minnesota has decided to stop playing music composed by white people. So the marching band director said, going forward, they will only buy music from composers of color. And the truth is, and I think we can all agree here, that Burt Bacharach is about as white as a jar of mayonnaise. So students are celebrating the decision. They say that musicians of color, and this is coming from Campus Reform, musicians of color will no longer have to check themselves at the door. I have absolutely no idea what that means. Meanwhile, over at the Michigan State University, they are banning whiteboards from dorm room doors. And shockingly, it is not because whiteboards are white. That was my first guess, whiteboard privilege. But no, apparently the children at MSU have been writing naughty words on the whiteboards in the dormitories there. The NAACP is claiming a great victory for humanity, as if taking away an erasable board is going to stop people from using hurtful language. Anybody hear of Twitter? Anyway, it seems to me that if somebody is really writing something that is offensive, racially offensive, then deal with that problem and take away that guy's whiteboard instead of the guy who's just, you know, writing a daily haiku or something. Meanwhile, the Ten Commandments, they're getting the heave-ho from a high school near Pittsburgh. The 6-foot-tall monument is going to be extricated from the front lawn of Valley High School. And it's all part of a settlement in a federal lawsuit filed by a self-avowed atheist. Now, Marie Schaub is the atheist, and she told the local newspaper that she found the monument to be a violation of the Constitution. And she also found the commandments to be offensive. So I got to wondering about something. I was wondering which of the commandments she found the most offensive. And if I was a betting man, I suspect it was either the one about the graven images or coveting thy neighbor's ass. So she has not responded to our calls for clarification on that. But here's what really gets me about this story, folks. They interviewed the local school superintendent, and he said they wanted to take the high road, so they decided to settle the lawsuit. But he also said in that same interview that they actually believed they had a winnable lawsuit. So understand this. The school district there outside of Pittsburgh had an opportunity to demonstrate to children how to defend our rights under the Constitution. But instead, they chose to throw in the towel. And in doing so, I believe the school district has violated the 11th commandment. Thou shalt not tucketh tail and run. Meanwhile, over in Virginia, some good news to report. Students at Dinwiddie High School in Virginia were ordered to remove American flags flying from their pickup trucks. It happened on President's Day. The students did as they were told, but word soon spread about the school's unpatriotic behavior, and then all you know what broke loose. So the local residents complained, and the television station, WRIC, investigated and did a story blasting the school district. A patriotic television station in America. So it wasn't long before the school had a change of heart and they decided to allow the kids to fly their flags. And so at Fox News, we actually saluted this television station for their fair and balanced journalism. And quite frankly, it was nice to see somebody actually covering real news instead of fake news. So the good folks there in Dinwiddie County, Virginia. There are some more serious issues in the news to share with you about. Many of you have been following the situation with the town hall gatherings where these paid agitators have been shouting down and causing mayhem at these predominantly Republican town hall meetings. Well, just the other day, Senator Cassidy in Louisiana was holding a gathering in Metairie when all of a sudden this angry crowd began shouting down not the senator, but the Louisiana state chaplain, who was actually trying to pray, deliver the invocation. And the people in the video refused to allow this man to pray. But my goodness, I had a chance to talk to the minister just a little while ago before I came downstairs, and I'm actually writing a column about this. I said, could you send me the prayer? Because we couldn't hear what you were praying over the agitators, so he sent me a copy of the prayer. But it was interesting because when he prayed in the name of Jesus, all you know what broke loose in that room. They started screaming at this preacher. He said he'd never seen anything like it. And then they had a Vietnam War veteran deliver the Pledge of Allegiance. And they shouted down and heckled this wonderful veteran. As a matter of fact, the chaplain told me, he says, Todd, people refused to stand. Others actually stood and turned their backs to the Vietnam War veteran as he delivered the Pledge of Allegiance. So there's some very, very disturbing news at these town hall gatherings. Also in recent days, we've been covering the story about this transgender bathroom bill, which many of you have heard about on this last panel. And we are hearing reports from all over the country of citizens thanking President Trump for doing what he did. Because it seems to me, and yes, applaud. Many moms and dads are very concerned about the idea that the Obama administration was forcing their daughter to share a locker room or a shower with a boy who identifies as a girl. And so we want to say thank you to President Trump for doing the right thing. Now, the president also needs to do the right thing when it comes to religious liberty and protecting religious liberty. And I said, after the president was elected, that we're going to give him praise when he does something right, and when he does something wrong, we're going to call him out on it. We really need the president to sign an executive order protecting religious liberty in these great United States. And I say that not just because of what happened to Beryl L. Stutzman with the Washington Supreme Court ruling, where they want to basically force a grandmother, a Christian grandmother, out onto the streets, taking her home and her life savings and her business, but also because of what they're doing out in Michigan, to the West Michigan Beef Company, the Vanderboon family. They had, in their privately owned company, they had religious material in their break room. A USDA inspector came in one day, but instead of looking at the hamburger patties, they're looking at the stuff in the break room. And they got upset because they said the religious materials were offensive to them. And so they told the Vanderboons, you better get rid of that material, and if you don't, we're going to pull our inspectors, and if we pull the inspectors, you're going to have to shut down. 45 people out of work. That's why we need President Trump to sign this religious liberty executive order to protect people like Baron L. Stutzman and to protect people like the Vanderboons in Michigan. So we're going to have to keep pressuring them. Thank goodness for the American Family Association and for their hard work. By the way, before I came down, you guys may have seen this commercial. There was a commercial on the TV up in my room at the Ritz-Carlton. Beautiful hotel, by the way. I'm a Motel 6 kind of guy myself, but this is pretty fancy. So I'm watching the TV, the big screen TV, and the CNN's got an advertisement on. And in that advertisement, CNN says, be sure to tune in Sunday, Finding Jesus on CNN. I don't think you're going to be finding Jesus on CNN. I'm just saying. I don't know what that was all about. You know, I do want to talk about my new book real briefly in the final few moments that we have here. I wanted to write a book that encouraged citizens to get engaged in the political process. You know, for far too many evangelicals, I've heard over the past couple of years that Christians ought not to be engaged in the political process. Well, I sincerely disagree with that. And I lay out that agenda in my new book, and we have a lot of fun doing it. And we provide folks marching orders, practical things you can do in your towns and your communities to get involved, to take a stand for issues that are important for you, so you don't have to dress up in lady parts and march in the street like they did in Washington, D.C. You don't have to do that to get your point across. But we have to take a stand. You know, last Friday I was speaking at Liberty University, 14,000 students. And how exciting it was to meet so many young people who are taking a stand on their college campus, and they're taking a stand in their hometowns. And it's important for all of us in this room to stand alongside these young patriots as they begin that process of defending freedom for the next generation. And that's what my book is about. You know, we do have to take a stand, and that's one of the reasons why I love CMP. You folks are taking the stand every single day. You provide me with stories that we're able to share on Fox News to get the word out about what's happening in this country. In my final seconds, I want to share this story with you. It's a story out of the book. There was a scene in that wonderful film, We Were Soldiers, the Battle of the Lodrink Valley. Many of you know it. Colonel Hal Moore and his men were surrounded. The enemy was advancing. All appeared to be hopeless. There was a reporter there for United Press International, and when the bullets started flying, the reporter dropped to the ground. And in the middle of all the chaos and the carnage, Sergeant Major Basil Plumley stood resolute. And he walked over to that reporter quivering on the ground, and he gave him a swift kick of the boot. And he told the terrified journalist, "You can't take no pictures from down there, sonny." And the reporter looked up at the sergeant major and said, "I'm a non-combatant." And he refused the gun, refused the weapon. And the sergeant major replied to that young reporter, "There ain't no such thing today, son." So I leave you with these words, my fellow countrymen. We are surrounded. The cultural bullets are flying. The enemies of freedom are advancing. And the time has come for all of us to stand resolute. You might say, "Todd, I'm not a fighter." Well, there just ain't no such thing today. Because we in this room are freedom's last line of defense. So I say, do not hold liberty's light under a bushel. Hold it high and let the flame of freedom burn bright so that all the world might see. It's time for every gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American to take a thunderous stand for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And may our prayer be on this day and every day that our great nation will once again be that shining city on a hill. Thank you all very much, and God bless you.